Good evening. Thank you very much for joining us tonight for our time of ministering the Word of God and our Bible study. Glory to God. He is an awesome God. We're so thankful to Him for His faithfulness and His loving kindness, for everything that He continues to do in our lives. Hallelujah. We're so privileged to know Him and to call Him our Father. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you for joining us wherever you are joining us from around the world and whatever platform you are joining us on. We're really excited. It's another glorious day. Hallelujah. What a privilege to come together again around the Word of God to study together. For several weeks, we have been studying the believer's authority and dominion. Oh, glory. There's been so much foundation that has been laid, a lot of things that we've already studied together already. I'm looking forward, though, to what the Lord, what the Holy Spirit still has for us as we continue to press forward in this series of lessons. It's just going to be awesome. It's going to be good. We've taken time to discuss the revelation of the resurrection. Hallelujah. If you are just joining us, and you haven't been with us the last few weeks, I encourage you to go back. All of those teachings are recorded, both audio and video. You need a solid foundation. I know I never can really get over, when I observe how, just casual sometimes people are with the Word of God. I never can understand it because the Word of God has all the answers. I mean, all the answers are there in the Word. So why anyone, people will pay boatloads of money to get some professional help, or which is great. That's awesome. That's awesome. But many times the answers are actually already in the Word of God. And sometimes maybe professional help kind of helps us, sustains us while we go through the process to eventually get to our final place of release or healing or feeling better and comfort and all that stuff. But folks, the Word of God is the miracle. The Word of God is the miracle. Every blessing that we are believing for, everything we're looking for in our lives, the Word of God is the miracle. The Word of God is the miracle. The Word of God is the miracle. Can you say that with me tonight, wherever you are? The Word of God is the miracle. No wonder in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, Paul said to the Ephesian church leaders, he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. What is this inheritance? Your healing, your favor, your miracle, your blessings, your increase, your prosperity. It says the word of God will build you up and then it will give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. Oh, folks, the word of God is the miracle. The Word of God is the miracle. I'm so thankful and so excited about this series of studies that we're doing on the believer's authority and dominion. We're going to continue tonight. We spend a lot of time talking about the resurrection of Christ. That's where everything began. And last week, we started to study together the fact that Jesus has all authority. He said, all authority has been given unto me. And we're going to press forward and tonight and continue talking about how Jesus turned around and gave his authority to us. And we're going to talk about the fact that Jesus knew we would need his authority to operate on the earth. Let's see how far the Holy Spirit helps us to go tonight. But there's just so much revelation. Oh, so much power, so much grace in the Word. And I pray that the Lord bless you and that your eyes are open to receive tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your mighty hands upon our lives. Thank you for everything that you are doing with us, everything that you are doing for us. We yield to you, precious Holy Spirit. Have your way. Be thou glorified. Be thou exalted. Do that which is pleasing unto you tonight. Do that which is pleasing unto you tonight. I thank you. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your loving kindness. Oh, Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters, everyone that is under the sound of my voice tonight. Bless them and impart life to them. Oh, in the name of Jesus, cause great grace to come upon their lives as we study the word of God together. Lord, cause great grace to work in their lives. I bless your holy name, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Glory to God. We started discussing last week. Jesus said all authority has been given unto him. All authority in heaven and on earth. All authority has been given unto Jesus. Matthew, we saw that in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Hallelujah. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And in the Amplified, Jesus approached and breaking the silence, he said unto them, all authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Then he said, go forth. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, we saw when he gave them their assignment and he told them the power of God would accompany them. In Mark chapter 16, he said, these signs will follow them. Let's read verse 15. He says unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs, oh, praise God, we believe. We are saved. Hallelujah. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. We talked quite a bit about this last week. And I'm not spending any time there again. If you missed last week, you got to go listen to that one. Hallelujah. In my name, they will cast out devils. That's actually demons. The word is demons there. Because there's only one devil. But there are so many demonic spirits, so many emissaries that are called demons, principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, rulers of the darkness of this world. All of these are agents and people that were and spirits, I should say, that work for the enemy, for the devil. The devil doesn't want you to learn these things that we're teaching in this series of lessons on Wednesdays. He will do everything to try to distract you. But let's just stay focused. Just put him in his place. If you are in your home, you know you have spiritual jurisdiction. It's your home. You either rent it or you bought it with your own money, right? Or if you live with somebody, well, you have an authority. You have authority to be there, right? So put him in his place. As we get together in this series of studies and lessons and we continue to press on, there's so much revelation that the Holy Spirit is pouring out to us. Just put that devil in his place. Say, Satan, I bind you. Get away from here in the name of Jesus. You know, he says, in my name, they will cast out devils. So cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, the disciples, and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus has all authority. Jesus has all authority. But he turned around and he gave you and me that authority. Authority is delegated power. We talked a lot about what that is last week. We had that example, that illustration of the traffic person who is operating under the authority of the state, but everybody recognizes he has authority. Everybody on the road, all drivers, you know, the man, the policeman, the trooper stands right there in the middle of the road and tells you, stop, you stop. It's not because he has the strength to stop you or stop your car. No, but he represents a higher authority. And you subscribe to that higher authority. If you don't subscribe to that higher authority, you know that you are going to get in trouble. You are going to lose something of value. They'll take some privilege away from you or the other. That's delegated authority. Jesus took his authority and delegated it to us. We have Jesus' authority. Let's read a few scriptures that show us that tonight. I really want to press forward quickly. I don't want to lose any time. I want to cover some ground. I believe the Lord will help us tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus gave you his authority. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. John chapter 1. Let's read this first from the King James, and then we're going to read it mostly, most importantly, from the Amplified. I actually want to read verses 11, 12, and 16. And I want to read both of those in the Amplified especially. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. That's the word exousia, right? We've talked about this nonstop. It's the word there, translated power in the old King James, is the Greek word exousia. It is the word authority. It's delegated power. The word power by itself, when you see it a lot of times in the New Testament, is the Greek word dunamis. We've talked about that too. If you miss those sessions, you need to go back and listen, because I'm not going back there until maybe a later time when we get to the places where we're talking about the working of God's power and power encounter and all of that stuff, right? But the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, and that word is authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's read this, verse 12 from the Amplified. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the Amplified says. And then he puts in parentheses, power, privilege, right, to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in his name. Remember, we read in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, verse 17. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. If they will handle deadly serpents or whatever, they will not hurt them. They will drink deadly things. They will not hurt them. It's in his name. However, the Bible is telling us there it's based on our believing. Remember, even in Mark, he said, to those that believe, they that believe, these signs will follow they that believe in my name. And right here he says, he gave this authority, this power, this privilege to become the children of God to those who believe in his name. To those who believe in his name. Look at the King James again. But as many as received him, to them gave he authority or power, he says here in the King James, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you see that? The authority is given to those that believe in his name. Say with me, I believe in his name. Let's say very strong, I believe in his name. In fact, let's say it this way, I believe in the name of Jesus. Say it again. I believe in the authority that is in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. To them that believe in his name. To them that believe in his name. So you see right here, Jesus gave us his authority. It says to them, as many as did receive him and welcome him, he gave the authority. We have the authority of Christ. Now let's read verse 16 in the Amplified. In verse 16, he says, for out of his fullness, his abundance, we have all received, we all had a share, and we were supplied with one grace after another, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor and gift, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Now, when he says, of his fullness, we have all received one grace after another, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. These blessings are varied, but certainly one of the blessings which we just read in verse 12 in John chapter 1 is spiritual authority. One of the graces that we are given is the grace of spiritual authority. It's actually the first grace that man was given in the Garden of Eden. Is the first grace that the disciples were given when Jesus rose from the dead. Right? He says, we receive one grace after grace, blessing upon blessing. One of those graces is the grace of spiritual authority. Jesus turned around and gave you his authority. Glory to God. Let's read in Luke chapter 10. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10. Let's read from verse 16. Luke chapter 10. The gospel according to Luke and chapters. Let's read from chapter 10 from verse 16. And we're going to read to verse 19. Luke chapter 10. 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despises me, let's take out the F. He who hears you, hears me. Why? Because you represent him. This is the way authority works. Excuse me. This is the way authority works. Hallelujah. Authority is delegated power. When you show up in a place on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is not you there. Because you are not representing yourself. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. You are standing there on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all spirits, all forces, all elements in the spirit realm recognize that. You remember the trooper, the police officer, who's standing in the middle of the road and directing traffic or executing warrants or doing anything else? They are doing that on the authority of the government. They're not doing that because they have the power or the strength to be able to do that by themselves or make people do anything by their own strength. No, they're doing it on the authority of the government. When you come, when you show up in a place on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not you there, that's Jesus there. Because you are there on his authority. Hallelujah. So listen to what he says. He who hears you, hears me. He who hears you, hears me. Why? Because you represent him. You came in his authority. I like one line in our confession. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand with Jesus. I reign with Jesus. Something like that. You represent him. You came in his authority. You have heavenly backing. Everywhere you go, as a child of God, you have to have that confidence within you. I came not on my own power, not on account of my own abilities. I come on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have heaven's backing. I'm standing here as though Jesus Christ himself is standing here right now. And that means a lot. That means a lot to everything that you are trying to accomplish. That means a lot to everything that you represent in that moment. Listen, he that hears you, hears me. He that despises you, despises me. And he who despises me, despises him that sent me. See how the authority works? Jesus received his authority from the Father and turned around and gave it to you. So when you go, you represent him. And anybody who receives you, they are receiving Jesus because you came on his authority. Anybody who despises you, they are despising Jesus, not you, because you represent Jesus. And if they are despising Jesus, they are despising God the Father, whether they know it or not. Look at verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils, again, the word, there's only one devil, but that's demons. It's evil spirits. Even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Notice, through his name. He was still on earth when he sent them out in Luke chapter 10. He was still on earth. His disciples were right there with him. And he sent them out with his authority. Right? See where he sent them out with his authority? If you back up right there, to Luke chapter 10 and look at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and into every place where he himself would come. He sent them in his own authority. If you go to Luke chapter 9, just back up a little bit more to Luke chapter 9 and look at verses 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. Again, is the word devil and demons. See, every literal translation usually translates that demons. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons, all devils, the King James says, and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Hallelujah. See, he sent them. He gave them his power and his authority. Now here, the disciples came back in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. And they reported to him, the devils are subject to us in your name. Remember, Jesus was still here in Luke chapter 10 when he sent them out. And they came back and said, the devils are subject to us in your name. Well, guess what? When he was leaving, at the end of his earthly journey, in Mark chapter 16, where we read, and he sent them out with his authority, and he was no longer going to be here physically, but he gave them that same authority that he gave them right here. And he said unto them, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. Exactly what he said to them when he was here. Why am I emphasizing this? Excuse me. Because there's a lot of Christians that don't realize the resurrection of Christ changed everything. When Jesus rose from the dead and you receive all authority and all power, when you believe in him, when you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you become one with him. When you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you become one with him. So, his deity is now yours. What's deity? Like, he's God. You are a small G-O-D now. He is God the Son, subject to the authority of God the Father, and has sent to us God the Holy Spirit as the divine Trinity. But you, because Jesus rose from the dead and you have now accepted Jesus into your life as your Lord and your Savior, everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you, beginning with his deity. What is his deity? His godliness, his divinity. You are now a partaker. You are a partaker in the divine nature. You have God's DNA. You are an offspring of God. Hallelujah. This is shouting ground. His deity. So he's God the Son. Capital G-O-D the Son. You are small G-O-D. You are a God on the earth. You represent Jesus. Because you are a believer in him. His deity is yours. His authority is yours. His authority. He gave you his authority. We just read that. Is yours. His anointing, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that anointing that empowered him to be able to heal the sick and deliver those that are oppressed by the devil, that anointing belongs to you. You didn't receive a second-grade Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus when he said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bound, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The anointing, the Spirit of the Lord that came upon him, is not different from the Spirit of the Lord that came upon you. You are anointed like Jesus was anointed. You have his anointing. You have his graces. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm anointed like Jesus was anointed. I have the Holy Spirit like Jesus had the Holy Spirit. His anointing is yours. And then, of course, finally, his immortality. The fact that Jesus will never die. He already conquered death. He will never die. That immortality is yours now. Your physical body may die if you go home before the rapture, but it will be resurrected. And when you die physically, we actually don't call it death. We call it sleep. The Bible calls it going to sleep. It's like you went to sleep. You know, now, as we all live on this earth, we go to sleep, we have dreams. Sometimes you have a dream when you go to sleep at night, right? And in that dream, you are in a different reality from the reality that you are in your physical body, in your physical being, right? You understand this, right? This is clear, right? You see yourself, when you see yourself in any kind of dream that you've seen yourself in, you know it's a different reality. You do recognize some things. There's a consciousness. You are aware of a lot of things. You see certain things. You see yourself in certain situations. You know, you recognize what you are doing. You even see some people that you know. You know, you carry out certain things with people, or you see certain things, and it's a different reality from the one in which you are living in physically. Well, somehow, that's what's going to happen when you go to sleep. There's a new consciousness. You're going to wake up a resurrected being in a new reality. Hallelujah. Yes, your body will be down on earth. Some people will be crying about it. Some people are crying, oh, she's gone, oh, he's gone, oh, they'll be crying about it. The body will be there. But you are in a new reality. You remember, you know, when you dream, you don't think of your physical reality when you are in a dream. You don't even think. Your consciousness is totally separated from that physical being that exists on this earth. In that dream, when you are in that consciousness, that new reality, that new consciousness, you are like in a different world. You don't see your body lying on the ground, like lying on the bed while you're having this sweet dream. You don't even think about it. You are just in a different reality. That's how it's going to be. Right? You'll be in a new reality. You'll be raised up, glory to God, because Jesus rose from the dead. His immortality will be yours. So, when Jesus rose from the dead, his resurrection changed everything. When you believe in Christ, accept him as your Lord and say, everything that belongs to Christ belongs to you. I'm taking a little bit more time going over this. It's so important. It's so crucial. There's deep revelation in this, folks. You are one with Jesus. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. Excuse me. His deity, his godliness, his authority, excuse me, his power of rule, his anointing, his empowerment, his immortality. He lives forever, eternally. Everything that belongs to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Belongs to you. Because you are saved. Because you believe in him. So Jesus gave you his authority and more. Hallelujah. Let's keep on reading here. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Then he said this in verse 19. Excuse me. Behold, I give unto you power. That word is exousia. We're seeing this quite a bit, where the King James translates the Greek word exousia into power rather than authority. But then you look at more literal translations, And you see the word authority. He said there in the King James, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Nothing. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. That's the word of Christ. You can take that to the bank. I give you authority over every power of the enemy. I told you earlier, either in this service or the one of the previous ones, Jesus said, all authority belongs to me. Satan has some power. We can't deny that. Satan has some power. You know, principalities and powers. There is power in the kingdom of darkness. But no matter how great that power is, Jesus said, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And serpents and scorpions could be literal serpents and scorpions if you are ever in such a situation. But actually, more appropriately, spiritual serpents and spiritual scorpions. More appropriately, that's the more literal meaning of what the Lord was saying. To tread over all the power of the enemy. No matter how great the power of the enemy is, you have the authority through Jesus to tread over that power. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. Nothing. You cannot be hurt. You cannot be hurt by anything that is sent to attack your spirit. You cannot be hurt by anything that is sent to attack your mind. You cannot be hurt by anything that is sent to attack your emotions. You cannot be hurt by anything that is sent to attack your body, your physical being. You cannot be hurt by anything that is sent to attack any aspect of your physical life. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why? Because Jesus gave you all authority. He gave you his authority. Let's read this from the Amplified. The 70 returned in verse 17 with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Verse 18, and he said unto them, I saw Satan falling like a lightning flash from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical. Watch this now. I love it. I love it. I love it. And physical and mental strength and ability. Everything. Every power that belongs to the kingdom of the enemy, you receive the authority to tread upon it. And nothing shall by any means hurt you in any of those realms. Nothing. Hallelujah. To tread upon scorpions, serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability, over all the power that the enemy possesses, over all the power that the enemy possesses, over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Nothing shall in any way harm you. Somebody say with me, nothing shall in any way harm me. Say it again, nothing shall in any way harm me. Over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Jesus has all authority. He turned around and gave you his authority. Now you have his authority. Everywhere you go, you represent him. Everywhere you go, that consciousness ought to be alive in you. You represent Jesus. You go in his authority. You go in his name. And because you go in his name, you can walk in his authority. You can tread and trample upon serpents and scorpions and over every power of the enemy, whether it's mental or physical or any other kind of strength and ability that he possesses, and over every power that he possesses. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the authority in the name of Jesus that we possess. Jesus gave you his authority. Let's begin to wrap this up tonight. Glory to God. Let's read from Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. You have the authority of Jesus. You will trample upon serpents and scorpions and over every power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Glory to God. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You understand that? Everything that belongs to God the Father belongs to Jesus. That's what the Bible is telling us. Of course, his authority, for sure. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But guess what? He turned around and gave that to you. And look at the next verse in verse 10. And you are complete in him. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete. Let's see what the Amplified Version says here. Let's read this. Verse 10. You are in him made full, having come to fullness of life in Christ. You two are filled. Hallelujah. You two are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. Because he's the head of all rule and authority, and he gave you his authority, then you can enjoy the rulership of Christ in your life, on your journey. You can reign with the authority of Christ. Yeah, let's not be trying to, you know, act like we're humble and act like, you know, well, yeah, you know, oh, no, I'm just little me. And no, would you please stop that? Little me. There's a place for humility. It's not here. There is a right place for humility. Have you noticed how Satan trembles when we talk about the authority in the name of Jesus? When we talk about the authority that Jesus has given unto us? Do you know how Satan trembles? Usually, that's when Satan wants to use people to talk to you about being humble. Because he's scared. There's a time to be humble, and there's a time to walk in authority. Remember what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3? There's a time for everything under the sun. There's a time to be humble. Yes, there is a time to be humble. When we are in the presence of God, we're humble. When we are walking with other believers, we're humble. We don't try to exert authority over other believers, like enforce, trying to, you know, yeah, don't you know I'm in authority? No, we're humble. When we are around other representatives of God's authority on the earth, we're humble. There's a place for humility. Hallelujah. But where we're in the presence of principalities and powers, where we're in the presence of the devil, when we're in the presence of his oppression and his evil darkness in the world, that's not the time for humility. That's the time for authority. There's a time for humility and there's a time for authority. When you stand in the presence of the devil, when you see the oppressive work of the enemy, there's sickness and there's demonic oppression and there's darkness and there's depression and there's torment and there's evil destructive habits and there's division and confusion and there's storms that are raging and there's evil that is pervading the atmosphere, it's not the time for humility. It's a time for the children of God to arise and to take authority. It's the time for the children of God to arise, to take their rightful place and to take authority in the name of Jesus. To stand up when that storm is raging. And to say to that storm, peace be still in the name of Jesus. It's not a time for humility. When Satan is trying to destroy in your family, it's not a time for humility. When he's trying to wreak havoc in the lives of your loved ones, it's not a time for humility. It's a time to get up and exercise the authority and the dominion that you have been given. I take authority over this. I have jurisdiction here. I have jurisdiction here. I take authority over this. Peace, be still in the name of Jesus, and expect something to happen. Hallelujah. All authority belongs to Jesus. Jesus turned around and gave you that authority. Can somebody say amen? Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All authority has been given to Jesus. Jesus turned around and gave you that authority. He's the head of all principality and power. Let's jump on the third one right here before our time is gone tonight. Glory to God, we're making good progress. Thank you, Father. We honor you tonight. Jesus knew you would need his authority to function on this earth. Jesus knew you would need his authority to function on this earth. Let's go read. Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. Let's read from verse 16 to verse 19. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus knew you would need his authority to function on this earth. What does that mean? Without the authority of Jesus, you cannot function on this earth. Without the authority of Jesus, you cannot possess your inheritance. Without the authority of Jesus, you can't lay hold on the things that are freely given unto you by Jesus. Without the authority of Jesus, you can't demonstrate his authority on the earth. Without the authority of Jesus, you can't change situations. You can't fulfill the Great Commission. Without the authority of Jesus, you can't help people. Without the authority of Jesus, you can't change lives. You can't change situations and circumstances. Hallelujah. Jesus knew you would need his authority to function on this earth. Matthew chapter 16. Remember when Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? You know this story. You probably do. And they all say, well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this, you're that. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter responded in verse 16. Matthew 16, 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. I want you to pay attention to this, to what Jesus said. Peter said, you are the Christ. Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. My Father who is in heaven did. And then he goes on, and he said unto him in verse 18, and I say unto you, you are Peter, a small rock, and upon this rock, this big rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look at that. He said unto him, you are Peter, a small rock. And upon this great rock, actually, the Amplified Bible puts it very well, good for us. He says he said in verse 18 in the Amplified Version, I tell you, you are Peter, Greek Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Greek Petra. Notice, when he called Peter a rock, the Greek word is Petros, a large piece of rock, substantial piece of rock. But on this rock, Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar. So they are not the same. They are not the same. Peter, yes, you're a great rock, but small compared to the rock I'm talking about right now. The rock I'm talking about right now is huge, like the rock of Gibraltar. Look at what it says. On this rock, this great rock, this Petra, this huge rock, like the rock of Gibraltar, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, look at the way he puts it in the Amplified, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or hell, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. On this rock, this big rock, Petra, will I build my church. What rock? Well, you go back. When Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter said, Lord, you are the Christ. Jesus turned around to, oh, Peter, you are a rock. You are a rock. But on this big rock, will I build my church. Listen to what he said. Peter, you are a rock. What you just said was revealed to you not by flesh and blood, but it was my Father that gave you this revelation. Listen to it. In verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. Notice there's revelation of who Jesus is. The revelation of who Jesus is the rock of Gibraltar on which Jesus will build his church. The revelation of who Jesus is the basis of our authority. Remember, we talk about the revelation of his resurrection. Like Paul said, that I may know him, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. The revelation of Jesus is the rock on which Jesus will build his church. And the gates of hell will never be able to prevail against it. When you are walking with the revelation of who Jesus is, hell cannot stop you. The kingdom of darkness cannot, they can't stop you. They can't waylay you. They can't trip you up. When you are walking in the revelation of Jesus, you are an unstoppable force. Remember how, oh, glory to God, let's not go there yet. I'll just mention it. Remember how in Ephesians 1:15 to 23 or something that we read for a few services in the past? How Paul always prayed and said, I pray for you. That the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will give unto you the spirit of revelation, wisdom, the spirit of wisdom in the revelation, in the knowledge of him. We give unto you the spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of him. Talking about revelation knowledge. That the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will give unto you the spirit of wisdom in the revelation of him. In the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Thank you, Lord. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. Let's leave that for a minute. I don't want to go there yet. Jesus said unto Peter, you are a rock. But on this great rock, Petra, I know there's a lack of understanding where some people have said Jesus is building his church on Peter. No, he didn't say that. No, he did not. Even Peter would not have built his own church on himself. I mean, no. Mm-mm, no, he won't do that. So you're Peter. You're a rock, a great rock. but you are small in comparison to this huge rock that is like the rock of Gibraltar. On this rock, this revelation of who I am, which is what Peter just expressed, this revelation of who Jesus is on this rock that I would build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. Now, I want you to look at this. Is where I'm going to close right here. And this, it gets sweet. It gets so sweet. I'm going to close right here and lead us up to just stop right here where it prepares us for our next series of lessons. Then he said in verse 19, and after he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell are going to fight. The gates of hell are going to come against it. The gates of hell are going to try to attack it. They will attack my church. And if you are a part of the church, they will attack you. But he said, they will not prevail against you. They will never be able to prevail against you. Why? Because you have his authority. They couldn't prevail against him. And because you represent him, you have his delegated authority, they will not be able to prevail against you. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then after he said that, then he said in verse 19, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Oh, I love it. And whatsoever you bind on earth, that's authority at work. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. That's authority at work. What enables us to walk in this authority? He said, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. You know, keys represent authority. Keys give access. If I give you a key to my property, I've given you authority within my property to occupy it, to live there, to do something with it that I have already sanctioned. When you've asked me for what you would like to do in my property and you've said, and then I give you the key, that means I have approved what you desire to do in my property, and now I have given you the authority to do it in my property. Keys represent authority. Keys represent access. If you ask for a password to an account that I have, not that you stole it, if you ask me for it, and because I want you to be able to access that account and I want you to be able to do some things with that account, I give you that passcode. That's the key. That key, that passcode authorizes you to go into that account and to do the things that I've already approved that you do there. Keys give access. And if you don't have a key, you can't enter. If a room is locked and you don't have a key to open that door, you cannot enter. That's why keys are powerful. That's why keys are important. Keys represent authority. When you receive a key, you are receiving authority. Jesus said, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So, obviously, the kingdom of heaven has keys. Jesus knew we would need his authority to function on the earth. So he gave us his authority, and he gave us keys to unlock that authority. And then he said, as you do that, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth will be loose in heaven. Hallelujah. 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 And he repeats that in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. If you just go next door. We're in Matthew 16 here. If you just go next door to Matthew 18, 18. You see where he repeats almost exactly the same thing. We got to close. 55. Matthew 18, 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Here he's talking about the context of the authority that the body, that the church has in exercising the order of God in our relationships. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be lost in heaven. I've given unto you keys, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Thank God for his authority. Thank God for the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Father, for blessing us in this service. Thank you for opening our eyes. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. You alone deserve it. Receive it to yourself now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, saints, for being with us again tonight. What a glorious service. What a glorious Bible study we have had. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. Thank you for being with us. We're out of time tonight. I'm looking forward excitedly to our next session together. May the Lord bless you tonight. Good night.